a lot of young people since have said, oh, how fortunate you are having met Barbara. What was the experience like? And what I remembered was that you were not conscious of the fact that he wasn't speaking. You seemed to be conversing with him. And my other feeling was as though my heart was melting. Those were the two.
What was your profession?
What was?
At the time, your profession?
My profession. I was in property, real estate.
And did Father speak with you also?
No, this was the thing. The only words that were said, he put his hands on the baby's head and said, open your heart. And that was all that was said. And all my resentment went.
My wife at that time was not really keen on that.
I didn't like the idea. I could accept him as a master and what I'd read and nothing to complain about. But I did not like the idea of him calling himself the Avatar. Mm-hmm. This put up a terrific resistance to that.
Well, coming from a nonconformist background, they would be anti any saving of masters, avatars.
So you all saw Baba again in
56?
Yes. 56 wasn't a pleasant experience for me. I don't know how you felt about it.
Oh, yes, it was.
To you, it wasn't.
Yes, I don't know why. Yes. What makes you say that? That was at the hotel, Rubin, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, I know why. I was looking forward to it in 56. But when I got there, we were sort of rushed in and rushed out. And I didn't feel that I'd had an experience. I felt I'd been rushed through. And I don't know, I didn't like the atmosphere somehow. I just missed it somehow. Mm-hmm. One of those things. Mm-hmm. It didn't alter my attitude in the long run, but the experience itself wasn't a good one for me. But, I mean,
well, at that time, Barbara struck me more as an impish figure, full of fun, gaiety, but a big impish.
Just going back a little bit, do you remember in 52 any other new model members who met during that visit? If you offhand can recall anyone who met him?
David, we wouldn't, you see, because I was already working with Delia, but we were a very tiny group then. It was only when the young people started coming in much later. In the early stages, when I first got in contact with the Barbara group in London, there was only about eight or nine of us.
So like Molly Eve, now did she meet him in 52?
Molly Eve, I think, met him in 52. I really can't remember whether it was 52 or 56.
Fred Marks, of course.
Fred Marks was present in 1952.
Yes. And before that, so he hadn't met Molly.
Oh yes, Fred was already in contact.
Had he met Barbara before 52?
Yes. I think he'd been out to India. I don't know when he.
No, that was in 54. He came to India for that. Three incredible weeks.
His first?
I mean, as far as I can see.
No, I don't think so. I think Fred, when we were discussing about it, he said then, you remember the time when he went to India by P&O line, wasn't it? Well, it was British India in those days.
Yeah.
And he went by sea. And that was just after the war, wasn't it?
Well, he said it was just after the war. But
I think they did go in 54 by ship.
It may have been 54, I
thought it was.
But
I can't remember that, because they were mainly in those days older people, weren't they?
Yes.
There were no young people. I can't remember any young people.
Well, Barbara had come to England in 1930, He met Delia and her sister, but there weren't many of the English group. It was only after the young people started coming that it suddenly began to grow. And,
Do you remember any incidents during your 56 visit to the father?
Oh yes, I remember a great deal.
Would you like to come back at
that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll sit down there.
Yes, the 1956 visit was tremendously important because by that time I was working with Delia and very devoted to Barbara, and I was on the very small committee we had, and I made up my mind. I knew some weeks before, of course, that he was coming in 1956. And I made up my mind to see that he got a regal setting. So I set to and I made purple, scarlet, cerise, orange, every colour of the rainbow, big satin cushions, and bought a large piece of purple material and went down to the Rubens Hotel the afternoon of the day that he was going to give his big evening talk, with a small hammer and a little box of tacks, and on the hotel wall, hammered up behind the big settee where I knew he was going to sit, I arranged all these cushions behind him and did this. Looking back now, the insolence, you know, of going into a hotel. I wouldn't dare to do it now, but in my enthusiasm.
Purple swat.
Yes, I remember this. Yes. Yeah. And I went to, what was the name of the big florists at that time? I ordered two very large vases of flowers, and I said I wanted them to spill over like that. And they said, in that case, you would like two tall pillars, with the result that on either side of all this display of satin cushions and purple, there was this wonderful floral display. And Barbara came in the evening. Everyone had been invited to come to this special Sir Harbour's. And Barbara came in and saw this wonderful display of cushions gleaming and this big lovely and all these flowers. And it was almost as though he just straightened himself up a further inches. He walked towards the dais and he turned round and sat down on it. And I remember the regality, if there is such a word, with which he eased himself and sat up and put his hands like that and just looked round the whole of the audience. And on that occasion, Ken was acting as a conductor of the people. Mm-hmm. It was an absolute wonderful moment. I mean, he really was God. He seemed to be absolutely emanating, but it was the quiet control and elegance with which and surrounded with that I had achieved what I had wanted. You see, there was my God, and I had given him the background I thought he ought to have, regardless of the hotel, you see, and I achieved that. And he sat there glowing the whole evening. A further incident, which is very much to my discredit, I'll tell it. We had been told earlier that the two of us would be needed, one to see that the people didn't go out, because he wanted to give a discourse out. You see, they were all lining up, and Barbara bowed to them, you see, and Lady Barbara. And when they were all, he wanted them seated, because he was going to give a discourse. And it was my task to see that they didn't go out of a certain door. So I was put by this door to keep it shut and not allow anyone to go out. And Tom was detailed off to see that the people kept in line and came up. And there were two incidents, actually, but I'll tell the discreditable one of me. And as I got started, standing by the door and the people, seeing that the people got seated, one of the Mandalay came up to me and said, Barbara sends the instruction that you must on no account allow anyone to leave. And I said, yes. That's what I've been asked. This is what I'm doing. And after about 10 minutes, he came again and said, Meher Baba sends this. And I said a little bit, yes, yes, this is what, no one has gone. Tell Baba that it's. I'm looking after it, but no one has gone. See? But in 10 minutes' time, just as the long, long queue, which was right through the hotel and right outside, we had a crowded evening, didn't we? He came over for a third time, and I said, you go and tell Baba that I understood the first time. Nobody has gone out, and I'm doing what he asked. You see, I didn't understand that Baba did everything in threes. You see? So that's my discreditable action. The other rather unfortunate accident occurred in connection with Tom. Tom had been asked to do this. I mean, the committee had set up the, and he'd been asked, you see, to assist with the queue as they were going up to Baba. And I had arranged the seating around Baba. I'd made all the display, and I'd been asked to arrange the seating. And I had to seat Delia de Leon and Charles Purdom and Will Beckett. And as they were old devotees of Baba's, and Will was the one who I had first written to and who seemed to be the connecting channel, I put him on Baba's right hand. But Will, I didn't understand, it was only later I understood it. Will jumped up when he saw Tom beginning to conduct the people up and started taking the people to Baba and saying to Tom, this isn't your job, this is for me. And we were asked, when the discourse and everything was over, to turn up at 9 o'clock the next morning. Baba wanted to see us all. And of course he asked what all this was about. And I said, Baba, I put Will Beckett on your right hand. I felt I couldn't do more. What was he upset about? And Baba just smiled and said, Will, Dorothy put you on my right hand. He didn't raise, there was dead silence. Nobody said anything, and Will looked absolutely discomfited. And no more was said.
He had complained.
He'd complained. Oh, yes. He complained that Tom Hopkinson had appropriated his right, which was the bringing of people to Baba. You see? And this was Baba's way of dealing with it. You see, I didn't know enough. I was very green then. I'm a little less green now, a little more blue. But I was very green then, and I thought that I was conferring the greatest honour on Will Beckett that was possible. I put him on the right hand of God. So I was indignant. What more?
Do you remember about the young couple?
Oh, yes, I must tell the story of the young couple. In the queue, there was a young couple. Very, very young. Do you remember this young couple? When it came to their turn, Baba greeted them, and it turned out that a boy-girl friendship, they'd been walking along outside the Rubens Hotel, and they'd seen the queue, and they'd joined it. They said, what is it? Everybody's going for this. And they had joined the queue. And as they approached and they saw, of course, they saw, you see, this wonderful setting, these lovely flowers, and this radiant being sitting there, I mean, radiating. I mean, it was just God. And the girl looked at him and suddenly knelt at his feet and wept. And the boy knelt down too, you see. And Baba patted them both and made them sit beside him throughout the whole evening.
They sat on the floor.
They sat on the floor, Yes. With wondering what had happened to them. And you could see they felt they'd met God, and of course they had. But it was a wonderful moment. The girl suddenly, she wept and got down on her knees and bowed to him. We just don't know what happened to them.
But I heard to mention another story to other two young men.
There are a couple also.
When was that? In 1956?
That was in 1956, but I think that was you're thinking of the married couple.
No, the two young men were homosexuals.
Yes, yes, this is what I mean. They were husband and wife. It was men.
The painter and the dancer.
Yes, both of them very, very well known figures. I won't give you the names. Both of them extremely well known, and they were very great friends of Delia's, whose family, of course, was connected with the theatre. And Delia had persuaded them to come. And suddenly, as they approached, they realised, you know, my God, you know, if this is God, what's he going to say to us? You see, which personally, I was rather amused at afterwards, because they always acted as though it was absolutely normal, but suddenly it occurred to them that perhaps it wasn't quite normal. And both of them, they nudged one another, and one said to the other, "Shall we bolt?" And the other said, "No, we can't do that now, we better go through with it." But as they approached Barbara, as they came up to him, looking very apprehensive, I might tell you, he just threw up his hands and he said, "Chums!"
They thought they were
going to
be sensitive.
They just said, "Chums." They were so relieved, they nearly leapt forward and hugged him. But there was always the Mandalay there to protect Barbara. Let me tell you another story of 1956. We'd had a painful morning. Will had been reproved in the manner I told you, and Barbara was there, Delia and Charles and Purdon. You may not want to deal with this, but I'll tell you it. The conflict between them was so terrible. Yes, between the three of them, that Barbara asked us all to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and when he got Will's misdemeanor over about the receiving people, he went for all of us. It was on this occasion that he said to Charles Purdon, "Charles, you do not accept me as the avatar." And Charles said, "No." And Barbara said, "Well, now let me ask you, do you accept me as the avatar or not?" And Charles, being an honest and a basically good person, he sat for quite a moment, fully a minute, and pondering. He said, "Barbara, I accept you as the avatar." Barbara was pleased, and that was that. That was another incident. And the other incident was that he'd given us a respite. He'd been very severe with us. He told us that what he wanted was honesty and amicable working and not all the goings on that had been going on. And he gave us a respite and said, "Now all go away and you come back at such and such a time." He gave us half an hour. And we all came back, and Will and Mary Beckett, who were still alive then, hadn't properly understood. First of all, Will was agitated at being told off by Barbara, and they were late. And they came in, and Barbara was waiting. And I watched Barbara, and no word was spoken, we weren't allowed, and Barbara was doing this all the time. And I was getting quite agitated for him. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is absolutely terrible. And then Will came back,
And Baba said, Will, I believe in being punctual. You're 10 minutes late. And Will, of course, was by this time completely, I mean, he was almost in a state of collapse. And then Baba continued. He went on with going for us all and saying what we do. And he asked me what I thought of the three and the quarrels. And I said that I didn't know them well enough, but I said I did feel that Charles could learn to be a bit more tolerant. Mm-hmm. And I said, Charles is very lazy. He gives out work. I mean, he orders us around and gives out work. And Barbara smiled and all this. And then he was giving. And I suddenly got an absolute feeling all at once. Barbara was sitting here and I was just over there. And I suddenly jumped up and I flung myself at his feet and they manderly leapt forward to grip me to, in case I was going to do something silly to Barbara. And I said, Barbara, I'm ready to have my ego smashed. You see how green I was, you see. But Barbara, when I went, did that. He did pull back from me, you see, and Eruch and Ardy and had hold of my shoulders. And young Ardy Jr. was standing beside him, and I remember Ardy Jr. saying, Barbara, Dorothy means it. I said, I do indeed mean it. That's another dramatic story.
You have any idea, Charles Perdom, was C.D. Perdom what the B stood for?
I haven't heard.
You know, Charles Perdom, his initial C.D. Perdom. Do you have any idea what the B stands
for? No, I don't. No. Yes, I think you're right.
Bertrand.
Yes.
Bertrand.
Yes.
Like Bertrand Russell?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. He was always known
Bertrand.
As... Yes, he was known as... Yes, C.D. Perdom. So it was the 1956 visit was very dramatic, and it was then that Barber reorganized the British group. He made himself the president, he made me secretary, he asked me to be treasurer. It was a fatal mistake because, I mean, I can't count on one, never mind anything else. But he did, and furthermore, Barber did something which I think is rather unusual. He said to me, how much money is to Will was the treasurer and the secretary. And, of course, this was a further humiliation for Will, you see, because it was taken from him. He said to Will, how much money is there in the kitty? And Will was so confused. He said there wasn't any at all. He was quite right, there wasn't. And Barbara told Ardy Kay to open an account for me. I don't remember the exact sum. It was either 100 or 200 pounds to start with. And he made himself the president. And this is important because Barbara never, by word, sign, letter, or anything, ever retired from that. And you see, this has caused a great deal of annoyance a bit with Americans, from which he resigned from all the other. But I know why he remained. After all, it was England that fought the great enemy, Hitler. Mm-hmm. And Barber remained our president as a mark of respect to the British people. Mm-hmm. It was as simple as that. And I've always stuck to it, you see. And when Don and Delia were trying to rearrange the group sometime later after Barber's death, Delia wanted to be president, and I did one of my scenes. I got so upset about this. I said, Delia, if Eruch himself was asking, I would oppose him. I said, Barbara has not resigned. He did it for a purpose. I said, we must keep him as our president. And so he remains so, and will always remain so now.
You missed out two little things.
You didn't make it quite clear that Barbara made this unusual arrangement that our chairman was to be...
Oh, yes.
Would you?
Yes, this is important because, again, it shows how he works. The three of them, Well, and it, the rows they used to have were really very painful. And Barbara resolved it. You see, each one wanted to be they. And Barbara resolved it by making them intern 6 months each. And they were to have 6 months each. And in that 6 months, they were the kingpin. But when the other took over, they stopped being, and the other was, you see, and so on. So that he gave them, you see. But what happened was that as he had made me secretary and treasurer, I had to cope with the three frustrated. And again, a very discreditable piece on my part. I bore all the rage and animosity and frustrations. That one morning I said, I cannot take it anymore. And I sat down and wrote to Barbara and said, Barbara, I have to resign. I cannot cope with all that is and all the criticism and all the demands that are made. And I resigned. And later, and it was as the result of this party that we went to Africa. But you see what I ought to have done. I ought to have said, Barbara, you've given me what I find an impossible task. What do I do? But you see, I didn't, you see. This living in the head, you see. I experienced it. I resolved it. I didn't let Barbara resolve it, you see.
There's one other little thing.
Mea culpa.
We went to the airport to see...
Oh, yes.
Barbara arrived. Yes. Would you like to say something about your seeing him arrive here?
56?
Yes.
This was in 56.
Yes. Yes. He came by plane, and we were two little things stand out. Two things of his arrival and one thing of his departure. Yes. He arrived by plane in the late afternoon. And we'd all gone out, including Tom, to meet him at the airport. And we were standing on what I recall as a little grassy place, and we watched Barbara at the head of his, of those who had come with him. There were about four or five of them. I think Mehusi Karkaria was one of them, wasn't he? And as he came up there, I felt an absolute surge to cry out, Avatar Mehi Barbara Kijay. And I thought, I shall be accused of showing off, because I was already having a bit of trouble. And I thought, no, keep quiet.
And so unfortunately, you didn't.
I didn't say it. And I said to Ardy Jr. afterwards, Ardy, my heart was bursting to cry, Avatar Mehi Barbara Kijay, and I just restrained myself in time. He said, why? Why did you restrain yourself? I said, well, look what everybody would have said. He said, doesn't matter on him, you should have said it. So again, you see, lost my opportunity. However, the heart nearly burst, the intention was there, but the head said no. You see how... And the other thing was that I had on, I've always attached importance that as I'm in a feminine body, to play the feminine role. And so I attached importance to appearance. And I knew that Barbara loved pink. So I had a beautiful pink hat. I didn't dress all in pink. I felt that would be a bit too girlish. And I wasn't all that young at the time. But I had this lovely pink hat, and Barbara suddenly turned to Purdom, and I didn't quite catch what was said, but it was a bit gigglish. They were all giggling as the result of it. And Barbara turned to me and looked at me in the hat, and he went... And afterwards, Charles told me that what he'd said is... Good feminine company. Now there was, Tom had better tell his, because Tom made a mistake.
Oh, several. When he arrived, we all those who had met him before got a little time to speak to him for a few seconds on the evening he arrived. Mm-hmm. And we all went up in turn to his room. And I remember giving him a hug and feeling this strange feeling that you always felt when you embraced him, of mingled lightness and solidity, as though it were very real and yet as though it were intangible. And he said, somebody said, did I want to say anything to him? And I said, I don't know what words I used, that it's not important, but I said something like, Baba, I am happy to see you, but I cannot accept you as God. And Baba said, what does it matter? He said, every night when you go to bed, just for 1 minute, think of me. But don't think of me as you see me now. Think of me as I really am. Well, of course, I took no notice of this. I suppose for 2 or 3 nights, perhaps I tried to, but then I soon forgot. And in the course of life, if I had hung on to this, of course, my path to Baba or Baba's ability to reach me might have been much shorter, much quicker. And the other thing that Dorothy is thinking of, on the day he left, I was working then in a newspaper office, and it was difficult for me to get away. I had my work to do. But I left the office in just enough time to get to the airport and drove down to the airport to see him off. Dorothy was already there because she, of course, had been spending she'd spent a lot of time with him. I'd only seen him at the beginning and mm-hmm. and at the meeting, the general meeting, and now I wanted to say goodbye to him. When I got to the airport, in those days Heathrow was all being built and it was in great confusion and the airports were sheds and you a little difficult to find, but I found it in time. But then I couldn't find anywhere to park. All the little slots said director, director general, reserved for this, that and the other. And instead of sticking the car in one of those without worrying, which obviously I should have done, I looked around for a place that was free to park in. And by the time I got to the airport, Baba was already going.
He was just going through the gateway.
Going through the gateway.
And I sort of said, pushed on forward, said at least wave.
I started to step over the barrier to go across to him.
And he was stopped.
And then, of course, they stopped me. And yes. I was afraid I was going to smuggle him some diamonds
yes,
or something.
But Baba put his hand up. But it was very sad,
and
I had been very nerve-wracked, you know, because I said to Tilton what time he was leaving, you know, and I when I saw Baba get up to go, I was in tears, absolute tears, because I thought it was symbolic of Baba left without Tom seeing him. But Tom got there just in time, I mean, to, and Baba saw him held back, and he just put up his hand.
No, Ken and Alice had
Did you meet Mara in 52?
Did I meet who?
Mara in 52.
I didn't meet either Meher or Marnie then. And in 1956, Delia and Minta and Baba went off to Stratford on Avon. No, it was in the 1956, because Baba was there for 2 or 3 days. And he spent the first day, of course, you know, putting us all to rights. And the second day, he gave a little tea party. No, that was the second day. They all went on a trip to Stratford-on-Avon.
With Bob?
With Bob, yes. Bob asked to go a little trip and said he would like to go to Stratford-on-Avon, and they went. I didn't go with them. I didn't go. I wasn't invited, but I wasn't there. And yes, that was a very upsetting moment for Tom when he thought he'd...
Yes. Yes. So in 58, Mother, didn't stop anymore.
It was only 52 and 56, and then the rest of the time I was corresponding.
So you all came to India in 62 as well?
No,
this is our first.
This is their first visit.
So it's just been enjoyable.
Yeah.
And you just arrived, I think, on Thursday.
Yes, they arrived on Tuesday.
The sight of Baba seating himself in that. And everything about him, the way he turned, he walked up with the mandali, and the mandali then stood to one side, and as Baba turned and seated himself, I'll never forget that. I mean, we all have our images of what God should be like, and his appearance, his deportment, the regal dignity and composure, it was so moving. Well, I was again speechless. Fortunately, I was given my task to do, because I got lost in it all.
I wonder which day we came, because there was no meeting when we came. We were just rushed through very quickly and out again.
Was it in
probably the same evening? It could be that same evening.
The evening of the big occasion. Ken, do you remember? You were assisting with the...
I couldn't have come for that.
No.
Yeah, you were one of the sort of stewards.
Yes.
Oh, that's why I have no memory of it. Yeah. I was trying to think.
You and Tom had come for 62.
No, we didn't. No.
We were in
Africa then. After I resigned... After I'd written my letter and told Barbara I couldn't take any more, alas, Tom got this opportunity to go to South Africa, and I wrote to Barbara and said, Barbara, do you approve? Is this what you want us to do? And Barbara said, yes, I do, this is what. And of course, Tom did wonderful work out there. That's where he got his CB. Yeah.
It's very much in the news.
Yes.
We used to like...
Whenever we moved anywhere, didn't we?
I kept in touch. I mean, it was just that I couldn't cope with the association and all the... you see, Barbara was not at all well at the time, and I started the newsletter, and they all picked the newsletter to pieces. Barbara approved of it, but they all felt I was being too personal, and they all accused me of being power-seeking and all the rest of it, and there may have been elements of truth in it, but I mean, I felt that I was doing my best for Barbara, you see, and the combination of, well, I got to the point I wouldn't go to a committee unless he came with me to defend me.
And as I wasn't a member of the committee, I came, didn't I?
Yes.
Although I wasn't a member.
Yes. And since Barbara's death, you know what I mean by Barbara's death, because there is no such thing as death. We don't even die, we only change bodies. I felt very close. I felt very close. And each year I feel closer and closer. So it's all worked out for the best, and all the mistakes I made and all have been forgiven. And
well, you've always been devoted.
One can't help being sorry for all the silly things one has done. However, this isn't the moment. The important thing is that he's alive, we're alive, and it's up to us to make the contact closer and closer and closer. We had a very moving moment at our Amativi Mm-hmm. Lowell Bedloe. You remember Lowell?
Yes, he's a composer.
Yes, yes. Lowell.
Hello, Mom and Dad. This is David here. You hear that noise in the background? That is your new grandson. We finally came to a name after 10 days. No, 3 or 4 days it took us to get the name. We had... there you can hear. Yeah, now he was feeding. But like I wrote you, we were undecided. We first thought Amar, but finally we came to Meher Aman. Aman is a Hindi word which means joy, pleasure, happiness. It's poetic, you know, they use it in poetry. So the spelling is Meher, you know, M-E-H-E-R, and Aman, A-M-M-A-N. So we call him Aman or Amu. Her mom calls him Amanzet, which means Mr., like sir, respectfully.
Shetmus, very rich man.
Very, very rich. So Aman is eating just now. And like I wrote you, we sent some pictures, which you probably have already received. And we sent some films along with this tape I've sent for developing, but only two of the films are of us. And I hope they came out. And it's about, I forgot to tell you the date, today's the 16th of March and it's 12:30 just now. And a girl will be leaving on Friday, so I'm giving her this to mail. No, she'll be leaving on Thursday, I forgot. So, anyway, I wrote you a few of the little details about how Aman was born. And now we'll try to tell you more about it. We thought he was going to come in March, but he was too anxious to come. He wasn't premature or anything, we just didn't get the dates right. But...
Yeah, but he was very big, you know.
Sheila was looking so big that they thought she would have twins, and now I really thank God that she didn't. Our hands are full. Both our hands are full, her mom's hands are full, her brother's hands are full. With just one, I can't think of Jeff Alexander. He said he had twins, and now I can understand a little bit about what they must be going through. So, let's see, what date was it when we went to the hospital?
24th.
What day of the week?
Night.
What day? That was on a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Sheila had her regular examination scheduled for Wednesday. Just check up, you know, go to the doctor. So we went about 6 in the evening, and the doctor examined her and said, well, get her admitted tonight because she's going to have the baby tomorrow. And she didn't have any... Just a second, somebody came. So, and she said, get her admitted tonight. She's going to have the baby tomorrow. And Sheila wasn't having any pains or anything. And I mean, I was happy because, see, the next day was Mary Baba's birthday. And for Mary Baba's birthday here, you know, that's like the biggest time of the year other than 31st January. But, you know, there's hundreds of people here. That's where we're staying here.
There's
all decorations. They put little light-colored lights in the trees at nighttime. Every night for about a week, they have musicians come and singers from Pune and Bombay. And, you know, it's a really big festive sort of occasion. And the 25th is the actual birth date, which is, you know, it starts from 5 in the morning. People get up and they go to Mehrabad and Mehrazad. And, of course, we were going to go. I mean, if we didn't...
Yeah, big cake in Mehrazad.
Yeah, you know, big cake. And it's like a big birthday party, you know, and plays there and singing and... It's like the biggest time.
Yes, everybody does sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Baba.
Of course. And if she was...
My birthday song doesn't sing on that day.
If she was feeling fine, I mean, we were planning on going, if, you know, by car, if she was all right. But then, okay, then the night before, the doctor says admit her, and So I was happy, but I sort of wasn't believing the doctor because Sheila didn't have any pains, and I was thinking, how does she, you know, she says that so definitely. She said, yeah, I'm giving you my promise. She'll have the baby tomorrow. So we went home, and